What does it mean for God's kingdom, a place where all are kin or family, to come on earth as it is in heaven? This video that we're about to see as part of our video testimony series was unsolicited. It just came into Pastor Alicia's inbox, and I look forward to everybody seeing this. Pretty amazing.
Greetings, friends at University United Methodist Church. My name is Barrett Lee. I realize that my face is probably not familiar to you. I noticed on Facebook that your congregation is currently producing a series of videos where your members share about the ways in which your church has been a blessing. I am not one of your members, but I would like to add my own testimony of a critical moment when University United Methodist Church was a blessing to our family. It was the summer of 2011, and my wife and I were both serving as pastors of Presbyterian congregations in the country north of Utica, Rome. We were happily expecting our second child when one day everything went very wrong. My wife developed preeclampsia and was taken by ambulance to Krauss Hospital in Syracuse, where she underwent an emergency C-section. The doctors told us that she was mere hours away from death when she was wheeled into surgery at 4 a.m. Our son was very premature and had to stay in the NICU at Krauss for a while. During that time, we were allowed to stay at the Ronald McDonald House, just a few doors down from your church building. The hospital drove us over in the middle of the night on a Saturday. And as the car was pulling into the driveway, I looked to my right and noticed a rainbow flag hanging from the outside of a beautiful stone church. I said to my wife, "I don't care what denomination that church is, we are going there in the morning." The next day, still exhausted and scared and healing, we were greeted with much-needed smiles from Reverend Craig French and the members of University United Methodist Church. You surrounded us with hugs and prayers, and you sent us out with food and flowers. My words cannot adequately convey just how deeply your affection touched our hearts in that moment of extreme crisis. That Sunday morning was August 7th, 2011. Today, more than 7 years later, I am happy to report that all of us are doing just fine. One of the things we continue to carry with us from that challenging season is our gratitude for the Christ-like love and hospitality we received from the hands and hearts of University United Methodist Church. May God continue to bless you and make you a blessing to the whole community of Syracuse, New York, and beyond. From all of us here in our family, from me, from Adam, thank you. Say thank you.
Thank you.
I see some tissues in use at the moment. It's pretty powerful. You never know. You just never know. The tagline on Nelson Price's email is a Scott Adams quote. It says, "Remember, there's no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end." I think this video confirms that idea. If there was ever a moment where there was a lot to say, this is it. Our global United Methodist denomination is meeting right now at a special general conference in St. Louis to attempt to decide whether or not LGBTQ persons are welcome in our churches. This strikes many of us older folks and just about all the young folks as a bizarre thing to argue about, as we realize that we have lesbian, gay, trans, and bi friends, family, co-workers, acquaintances, who we know to be kind, loving, wonderful people, parents, and pastors. We also know that our faith calls us to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that Jesus did not provide any exceptions to that guidance. This United Methodist Church has worked hard understanding what a welcoming church looks and feels like. And in 2011, we voted unanimously to become part of the Reconciling Ministries Network to make our welcoming intent more visible. As the video we just watched suggests, the welcoming message of the rainbow banners, if you were having trouble with the logistics, Ronald McDonald House used to be down the street and now it's across on the corner. So if that didn't work out, and we used to have flags instead of banners, so just to orient you a little bit. As the video suggests, the welcoming message of the rainbow banner spoke just as much to a heterosexual couple needing welcome and care as to our anticipated audience. Of course, our plan for our worship services is for them to be inspirational to you. I often spend much of the worship service worrying that all the things we planned happen like we planned them. I'm more likely to get my inspiration during the week as I'm interacting with the words and scripture, music and images that become a part of this service. When I saw and read today's suggested scripture, it literally brought me to tears. How could we be debating whether or not certain folks could fully participate in the life of our denomination when we read from 1 Corinthians that we are baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slave or free, gay or straight, okay, I added that, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as God chose. If we have been arranged and created by God into one body, how can we possibly have the gall to suggest that God made some kind of mistake? Ask Job how that criticizing God thing went for him. I can't take credit for this graphic that I found identifying the opposite of reintegrating, finding it was just part of the spirit-driven experience of worship planning. But look at what it suggests is the opposite of reintegrating. Damage, destroy, ruin, harm, weaken, break, hurt, decline, persist, remain. Reintegrating is very Methodist. If we consider the Wesley Quadrilateral's four criteria for decision-making, scripture, experience, reason, and tradition, it's clear that John Wesley, our denomination's founder, believed that Christian belief existed as a lived experience, constantly being reintegrated into the present setting, not to weaken or diminish the faith, but to strengthen it for the present time. The idea, I remember back in the 60s, agape meals were a thing. Anybody who's been around a while may remember the Love-In down on Route 13 on the way to Ithaca. They were a thing. We talked about the three different kinds of love identified in the Greek New Testament, eros, philia, and agape. Now, of course, they identify eight different kinds of love in the Greek New Testament. But that's just a testament to how much time we can spend thinking about things. The idea of agape love was important in that time of expanding consciousness because it seemed that communal care for one another was fading as communities became less fixed. An understanding of who is my neighbor became less clear, and an awareness of what was happening in the broader world was displayed on the nightly news. Wikipedia explains agape love within Christianity as the love originating from God or Christ for humankind. In the New Testament, it refers to the covenant love of God for humans, as well as the human reciprocal love for God. And then here's the kicker. The term necessarily extends to the love of one's fellow humankind. So it's just not us to God and God to back. Because God loves everybody, and so in our loving God, we also are loving everybody. Love of other, a love that is given with no expectation of personal benefit other than having a part in bringing about the kingdom of God on earth, is a non-negotiable part of genuinely loving God and receiving God's love. Loving God without loving people misses the point of God's love. Reverend Janelle Nicholas Ablola, in her article, Revolutionary Love is Collective, writes this, I'm regularly reflecting on this thing called love. Whom do we focus our love towards? An individual? A group of people bound to us biologically? Those whose dominant culture already embraces and uplifts? Then she says, how can we redistribute this resource called love in ways that bring justice? And goes on, we have to love our world to the point that we desire fullness of life for others, and especially for others. It will only serve our one body if we drop our illusions of disconnect and take up knowing that our families and loved ones can thrive only when we are working towards our collective liberation and not just our own. A seminary classmate of Pastor Alicia, Greg Gray, who was forced to leave the United Methodist Church to follow his call to ministry, posted these words on Friday. With as many Methodists as there were in Georgia, it's amazing to think that there were even more Southern Baptists. I remember asking Dad what made us different than them. He told me, United Methodists love everyone, and we believe in grace. That stuck with me, he says. I believed him, but as I got older, I found out that it wasn't true. Recognizing our collectiveness is always a challenge for people with opinions, because we always want to liberate people to our point of view and then accept them as part of our understanding of collective after they've changed. Now, opinions are not necessarily bad. We only know about Jesus and John Wesley because they had opinions that did not match the status quo of their time. But they did not use their opinions to exclude. No, much of what got them in trouble was their opinions about collectiveness. They simply believed that God loved everyone. Our good friend, Reverend Steve Heiss, recently posted these words from Richard Rohr. This is how we are to imitate Jesus, the good Jewish man who saw and called forth the divine in Gentiles, like the Syrophoenician woman and the Roman centurions, in Jewish tax collectors who collaborated with the empire, in zealots who opposed it, in sinners of all stripes, in eunuchs, astrologers, and all those outside the law. Jesus had no trouble whatsoever with otherness. In fact, these lost sheep found out they were not lost to him and tended to become his best followers. Julian Rush's hymn, In the Midst of New Dimensions, that we just sang, is a powerful statement to embracing collectiveness. As we stand a world divided by our own self-seeking schemes, grant that we, your global village, may envision wider dreams. We've been talking about creativity now for 4 weeks, and our children have demonstrated how the kernel of an idea can become a beautiful statement. We have been dreaming and reflecting on what God is calling us to do individually and as a church in this place and this time. Whatever the outcome of the Special General Conference, this church's mission to feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit, does not change. Our answer to the question, who is my neighbor, does not change. Our heritage of loving all of God's creation in the best way we can is the touchstone that will guide us in the coming days and months. The Special General Conference sessions are from 8 to 6:30 p.m. Central Time, starting yesterday and continuing through Tuesday. So what are our next steps? Pray, pray, pray. Pray for the LGBTQ United Methodists who will be at the conference as delegates or observers, having to listen to hateful things being said about them, about their incompatibility with Christian teaching. Pray for LGBTQ youth and adults attending Methodist churches around the world that they might be fully recognized as beloved children of God. Please pray and hold in your consciousness all the 864 delegates from around the world who are making these decisions. The entire event is live streamed. We've decided to join with Emmanuel Lutheran Church or Emmanuel United Methodist Church in Camillus that's hosting a prayer vigil from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. All the details for that are in the bulletin. And Jeannie and I are continuing to carpool out there. We'll be going out Monday from 10 to noon and Tuesday from 3 to 5. See me or Jeannie after the service if you'd like a ride out either of those days. And finally, attend the regional gathering to process the conference outcomes hosted by Bishop Webb at Liverpool First United Methodist Church on March 20th. All that's in your bulletin. The Methodist Church split once over slavery, and it's possible that we might split over this too. We at University Church know who we are and what we believe and who is welcome here. That doesn't change. Would you please join me in reading the words of the final verse of that hymn? Should the threats, dire predictions, cause us to withdraw in pain, may your blazing phoenix spirit resurrect the search again. Let's sing it. God of rainbow, fiery pillar, leading where the eagles soar, we, your people, ours the journey, now and ever more. We are your people, O God, and we are most certainly yours, now and evermore. Amen.